The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All right, we got another pandemic special coming at you this week from the home studio here. This week got a couple of some banger guests, some best of. This is a fun show. We got Ron Capps, who has become the face of iRacing. He's also one of the baddest drag racers on the planet. Yeah, he's on the show this week. We got Cam Peterson, who is the best short course sim racer in the entire world. Yeah, he is here after his big World Cup win a couple of weeks ago. And then in our best of, we got my good friend Ryan Arciero. Anytime Ryan's on air, you know it's going to be a good time. And then we've got one of the GOATs, one of the greatest of all time, probably top five ever on a dirt bike, Mr. Showtime, Mr. Jeremy McGrath, in a best of interview on the show as well. Man, Caps, McGrath, Arciero, Cam Peterson, boom. We are locked and loaded here. 2 hours of fun on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks to everybody tuning in on Dan Patrick Radio, Sirius XM Channel 211. And also all of you tuning in on Sports Byline USA, the American Forces Network, downanddirtyshow.com, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you, thank you. We are going to have a whole hell of a lot of fun today. Speaking of a whole lot of fun, before we get into the interviews, the guests, and all the fun coming at you today on the show, I want to mention I got a new show that's coming out. It's on podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, excuse me. It is called All Things Awesome. It's with my good friend Jonathan Coyle. A lot of you know him from Instagram and the fitness industry. Maybe you saw him on Total Divas on E! Yeah, he's the guy that's married to Natalie Eva Marie, who is another good friend of mine. We dropped something called All Things Awesome. It is the best of 80s in season number one. We got the best 80s movies and worst of. Also video games, cartoons, and a whole hell of a lot more. Go and subscribe over there on Apple Podcasts to All Things Awesome with Jim Beaver and Jonathan Coyle. You won't be disappointed. Please leave a rating or a review while you are there. But shifting gears, we are going to take a short break, and then coming up in hour number one, yes, it is Ron Capps and it is Cam Peterson. So it is going to be a whole lot of fun right here in hour number one. Don't go anywhere. We got your next 2 hours planned for you right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode. beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with my buddy Ron Capps. Ron, I got to say, a lot of people are sitting at home right now, but you may be sitting at home, but you've been busier than most during this quarantine, man. You're doing a whole hell of a lot of driving, buddy.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's crazy because I've been involved with iRacing kind of since they started way back in the day. And who would have thought, what, you know, with all this pandemic going on, that it would turn into what it's turned into, with really opening everybody's eyes. But I mean, you know as well as I do, it's been fun every time they've added a new car or race car to iRacing. Like the off-road trucks were just we couldn't believe it when we heard that they were thinking about it, and then. Same with the sprint cars, the winged sprint cars, and the midgets. Same thing, and I got to be part of that beta team. So it's been fun to watch it progress, but it's really kept us busy. You know, I flew home from that race, got canceled in Florida, and I knew right away what I'd be doing if we were going to be stuck at home. So I was out in the garage on my simulator on my iRacing right away.
Yeah, well, you know, and that being said, let's go back to that. I mean, you guys were there. You're ready to go. And I know IndyCar was there in, St. Pete, and they kind of pulled the plug on that. You know, right about the same time, drivers are kind of there, and it just kind of rebooted everything. And here's a question for you. I mean, IndyCar, I don't want to say fortunate because nobody's fortunate in this, but they hadn't started their season yet, right? They were there at their first event. But I look at a guy like you. I mean, you guys got a couple of rounds under your belt. You went there and you know, you were in Phoenix, you're in Pomona, and then it's like a big pause. I mean, how does that affect you? Because you guys were just getting going, kind of starting to get in the groove of things. Things are starting to mesh, you know, it's the long off season, you know, and then all of a sudden, boop, pump the brakes, you know, let's pause for a few months. We'll go back in June. You know, I mean, how does that work? I mean, it's part of you wish, oh man, I wish we wouldn't have had those two races, or do you feel like it was, you know, it may have been good just to kind of blow the rust off and you'll be ready to go back racing in June?
Well, I think it was good. I mean, it was nice to kind of get our start. We, unfortunately, our Napa team, we had the trailer fire on the way to the West Coast. They ended up burning up a lot of our stuff and damaging a couple of bodies and cars. So that was on the way to preseason testing. So my teammates got to do the preseason testing. I went over there and had no race car to drive, so I did some media stuff, but I was kind of jonesing to get behind the wheel watching everybody else make runs. It's weird, man. Our season, especially with our countdown to the championship, when that last six races happens between September and November, it seems like it ages you 10 years in that 3 months. It's crazy. There's so much pressure and so much going on that when the season's over and the day after the banquet in Hollywood, you just don't want to see anything. You don't want to be at a racetrack. You're so burned out from the stress that's involved that you just want to chill and be away from a race car for a while. So you get through the holidays, and then you're kind of ready to get back in it when it comes time to get ready for Pomona. So it was weird to go to Pomona, go to Phoenix, and then be in a lull like this. It seems like it's sort of an extended off season. But we're okay in points, and we did well the first couple, considering. But my guys needed a break to get back to Indy and sort of go through all the burned-up stuff from the fire and get our equipment ready. But our guys have the car ready. It's in the trailer and ready to go to Gainesville if we're allowed to go racing in June.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and if we're allowed to go racing, you know, I'm looking at things going Gainesville, Gator Nats in June. That's going to be a warm one, Ron.
Yeah, there's a few that they moved around the schedule that it's going to be – definitely warmer situations. But, you know, for me, Ron Tobler, he's an old-school crew chief, and I love those demanding kind of conditions where we see the heat and the humidity, the track temperatures that are 130 degrees plus, because it really cool conditions, you know, unlike a lot of them, I guess, for us drag racing, when it's cool out and the track's cool and the weather's nice and brisk, these motors, they'll make 11,000 plus horsepower, and it sort of it evens everybody out. Like, anybody can go up there and throw all the power at it, and it's probably going to stick and make a run. Whereas you get these conditions where it's so hot and humid and tricky, it really takes a really good crew chief to set the car up, and it takes a really good driver to do what he's got to do to make sure the car gets to the finish line. So it's really a team effort, and I love that kind of thing. I love those summer months when we're grinding out these hot temperatures and tricky racetracks, and because at the end of the day, Jim, you're standing in the winner's circle, and you felt like you really, really earned it. Like, you really came together as a team to get past these, you know, not just beating other good teams. You got past these adverse conditions, and it's more gratifying.
Yeah, and you know what? It really blew my mind, and I've been around NHRA for a while and spent a lot of time in the pits and stuff like that, and I was out there at Phoenix, and I went with Steve Torrance in their hauler, and they started kind of really opening the books and kind of showing me clutch technology and weights and just these little nuances. I mean, things that, you know, passerbys wouldn't even notice. And I mean, it makes a huge difference for you guys in Funny Car and Top Fuel. And I guess, like, you know, I think people hear crew chief and they think NASCAR and it's a guy that stands in the box and calls some shots and things like that. But when you really dive into NHRA, I think a lot of people take this, you know, 300 plus miles an hour for granted. But I got to see some stuff that, you know, as a guy that I would say knows the sport pretty well, it really blew my mind. I mean, just how fine-tuned your crews are, you know, with every last little adjustment on these cars to get them to go that fast. And I mean, one slight adjustment can mean a massive, you know, amount of time on the track.
Yeah. If the normal fan really, man, if they realize how many things have to go right for that car to even go down the track, just to make a decent run, not counting a run that's number one qualifier or quickest of the round, it's everything's got to be so perfect. But you back up and you got to look at the crew guys. You've got eight crew guys that work on these things. They've all got a job. They've got to put this thing together flawlessly. I mean, it's got to be perfect for the crew chief has a chance to set that car up. Otherwise, he couldn't set the car up to do what he wants it to do. And then you take it another step, and the driver, unlike, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this, you know, drag racing is different in a lot of ways, but the biggest part is when I go do these other races in other race cars, one thing about drag racing is we can't make up a bad lap, or we don't have the privilege of saying, man, I messed up that one. I'm going to make another lap, and I'm going to make up for it. You go out there and you have 3.8 seconds to make a decision in the car to either do something right or wrong. It doesn't matter, but you don't have the luxury of saying, oh, I didn't make the right choice, but the next lap I'll do better. And that's kind of it's a tough thing. It's tough to swallow when you don't make the right decision, whatever it might be, pedal the car, catch it if it's smoke in the tires, don't keep it in the groove, little things like that really it'll haunt you. And you really got to learn to let it go, because it's so important to go up there and make the right choice. And unfortunately, we make the right choice, and then you got to live with it. So that's the tough part about drag racing, is everything's got to be so perfect, like you said, mechanically. And then the driver's got to go up there, and basically the team gives you the car, and they say, all right, here you go. It's set up as good as we could set it up. Do not mess it up. And that's sort of the difference, I think, than most motorsports.
Well, and you know, one thing that I've found really, really interesting about NHRA drivers, and, you know, I don't think that you guys get the credit you deserve as far as your driving skills. I think a lot of people, outsiders looking in, think you just point and shoot, and you know what I mean? And you know, you're just pushing the gas. But, you know, I've seen videos of in-car and how much driving you're actually doing. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to watch what you do in other racing, iRacing, but in real life. And I've had Antron and Steve Steve, you know, in my Razor out with me. I've been Razor riding with Leah Pruitt. And I got to tell you, Ron, I mean, NHRA drivers, by and large, everything I've seen, I mean, you guys have some legit race car driving skills. I mean, that extends far past what you would, you know, what you would think an NHRA driver would have. What do you credit that to?
Well, for me, you know, you look at, like, the guy that I think is the most talented driver for sure, talented race car driver in NHRA would be Doug Coletta. And I watched him as a kid in USAC midgets, and really anything he jumped in, he was phenomenal with car control. Being the Coletta family, he's always been in drag racing, but whenever we've gone off and raced dirt stuff, he is unbelievable still to this day. But you look at Antron, you look at Steve, and for me personally, I've always had this love for whatever it might be, motorsports, and that comes from my dad. He worked on a Can-Am car when I was a kid. He helped build sprint car engines for guys that lived in our area. And so besides drag racing, I would tag along with my dad, and I always loved all this different racing that he would go help people with. So I always felt like, growing up racing go-karts and things like that, that I was lucky enough that I got successful in drag racing, and I was able to be asked to go do these other races. And I, you know, I always tell my boss, Don Schumacher, I really truly, and I used to tell Don Prudhomme when he was my boss, and that it really helped me in my funny car when I would go race a midget or a sprint car or whatever it might be, because the car control is car control, no matter what you're in. But when you smoke the tires and you have a pedal fest in a NHRA car, and you're trying to hook up 11,000 horsepower, that experience you get in the seat of a midget or a sprint car or an off-road truck, whatever it might be, it's the same thing. You're driving by the seat of your pants. It's just more horsepower in a funny car, and it's less room to do it, but I feel like it's always helped me.
And we'll be back with more with Ron Capps right after this short break. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with the NHRA legend, Ron Capps. Now, Ron, we've been talking about iRacing. We're going to get back to that because we've got a lot to talk about. But I want to switch gears here a minute. I want to talk a little bit about all this downtime.
You know, a lot of these, a lot of drivers, whether it be, you know, NASCAR, IndyCar, whatever, you know, a lot of them are you know, you don't want to say self-funded, but they come from wealthier families, things like that. I mean, you're a guy that's, you know, very much, you know, you've had to work your tail off to get, you know, everything you've had and where you're at, you know, so sponsors have been a big part of that. I mean, you know, I look at what some of the other people are doing, and they're getting really creative. I mean, how has iRacing and, you know, really helped you out? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, I know Alex Rossi, your Napa teammate, he's very active in iRacing right now. You are. But, you know, how's this been for you? Because a lot of people are sitting there on their hands for, you know, 4-6 weeks, and, you know, sponsors are sitting there kind of twiddling their thumbs also. And you're out there active. I mean, you're doing stuff for Napa. You're racing. You're out in the public eye. You know, you're on TV. You're live streaming, things like that. I mean, how has this been as an outlet for you to help you, you know, get that return on investment for your sponsors, you know, while a lot of people aren't able to deliver that?
For me, it was just, you know, the flight home from Gainesville, when they canceled it right away, I was like, okay, what can I do to stay relevant with Napa and to keep them out, you know, doing what we normally do? And I've always kind of approached my sponsors, you know, even when I went to work for Don Prudhomme, you know, we had Copenhagen and Skoll. It wasn't something I brought to that team. He hired me as a driver. And so every day I woke up, I tried to do the best I could to help be the best off-track representative. And then you fast forward to Schumacher's, and we had Brut Cologne, and that sort of changed things for me. And then in 3 years there, and it worked right into Napa Auto Parts. So since then, I wake up every morning wondering, you know, I feel like I'm a kind of an extension of Napa and like a delivery person or a salesperson. So that as soon as I'm out of the race car, I'm thinking, how can I be the best salesperson to help sell my sponsor without being overly, you know? So I knew right away, man, I could get on iRacing when this happened, and I could have trucks and cars and race cars all painted up with the Napa logos. And with everybody streaming like they are, it was only a couple days before I heard from you, first of all, in the truck race, but right away I heard from some of the NASCAR guys that were putting races together with Dale Jr. and Harvick and things like that, that I knew that if I got a car painted up Napa, then I was sort of doing my job the best I could considering the circumstances. So that evolved into the sprint cars with the World Outlaws, and I had a car painted up for that, and we ran that on Fox Sports 1, and it's just kind of snowballed. And every day I feel like I wake up trying to defend myself from somebody taking my sponsor. And if I do that, then I feel like at the end of the day, I've worked as hard as I could to be the best at what I do off the track.
Well, you know, and speaking of that, you know, you're talking about all the different disciplines you're racing in and things like that on iRacing. And I know there was, an IROC race last night, but I'm looking at it going, you know, this really could be, and TV ratings are justifying it. I mean, people are tuned in. They're engaged to what's going on. I mean, just our off-road race, Drew, it was only online and drew almost 180,000 viewers, you know. And I'm looking at things going, you know, this could be the modern-day IROC where you can get a guy like Ron Capps against Alex Rossi, against, you know, whoever it is on the Cup side, and off-road drivers, and you can mix everybody, and you don't have the liability you would with real IROC cars going around, say, Daytona, but you can do it. You can package it. I mean, it still, you know, shows a skill set. Like, to me, this could be, I think, you and I who have been around iRacing before, you know, and I think moving forward after, I think, you know, it was kind of there in the outliers and people kind of knew it, but I feel like it's kind of been pushed to the forefront. And I think even after we resume real world racing, I think there's actually a place for it in motorsports now.
Yeah, I do too. And last night was a great example. I the two different races with different race car drivers, I watched the show. I didn't get to see it, obviously, when I was racing, but I went in and watched it on TV, and it was pretty neat to see all the paint schemes, because in the race, we couldn't really see them as good as we could, as the viewers could on Fox Sports 1. So it was pretty cool to watch how that evolved, but it's unbelievably realistic. I mean, you know, you got the NASCAR Sunday race that had over 1 million viewers. That Fox Sports 1, the first dirt race we did, it was for Fox Sports, it was up 50% from their previous, whatever they had scheduled the previous week on that Wednesday night. So it showed them that the fans want to see that. They want to see more motorsports. That was cool. That was a good pat on the back for everybody, because especially iRacing. But like you said, I mean, last night I'm in there racing with Scott Speed, with Bobby Labonte. I mean, guys from everywhere, and it was kind of cool to jump in a dirt car race, and all of a sudden you log out, you take a breath, you log in, and we're in Lime Rock, Connecticut, racing GTE cars, and I'm in a Ferrari at Lime Rock, which is something I will never, ever get the chance to do in real life, but it's so realistic, I can tell somebody that I felt like I raced a Ferrari at Lime Rock against some of the best race car drivers in the world, so I think you're going to see more cool stuff. In fact, I know, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but here next week on Fox Sports 1, they're going to have another sort of an IROC, and it's going to be pretty cool. I know that one of them is going to be an off-road truck race, and that's going to be fun, but they got a pretty good surprise coming out for next Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'm aware of the surprise, and I think everybody's going to want to be tuned in for that, that's for sure. You know, and just looking at things, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's got me excited for the future of iRacing. I know you've been involved for a long time. I mean, how many calls have you, and text messages, and emails have you fielded from people in racing since this thing broke? Hey, Ron, how do I get involved?
Oh, a lot. In fact, I just got another one this morning from another race car driver that was wondering how he's just getting into the game, getting a simulator set up and a wheel and pedals. And, you know, some of these guys, you know, they've got the $30,000, $40,000 simulators, and then you got some of these guys winning races online with a wheel clamped to a desk with a computer monitor in front of them. So you don't need something expensive. That's the cool part. I logged on this morning to practice for a NASCAR truck event I'm doing, and there were 15,000 people on at one time, which is nuts, and that's all over the world. So, yeah, there's going to be so much more cool stuff coming out, I think, even beyond getting back to real racing. I think our off seasons are going to be a lot funner now because I think they've gone through this to where from November to February, when there's no real racing on TV for fans, I think this next year we're going to have some pretty cool stuff going on, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the winter leagues, it's going to kick off. And, you know, and I think as drivers, we enjoy it, one. But, two, it's really easy. You know, you don't have to go. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to get fancied up. You don't have to drive. You don't have to get in an airplane. It's literally go out in your garage or your spare bedroom and sit in the sim for a couple hours. And, you know, and I think it's so accessible and it's so easy for drivers to do. And it's so realistic. I agree with you. I think this offseason, we're going to have more live motorsports content than we've had in a long time over the holidays.
Yep. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, one last question before we let you go, Ron, but you've done a lot in real world driving. You've done a lot in the simulators, now that you've driven all these different vehicles in the sim, is there anything out there in the real world that you're looking at going, man, it really would be fun to get behind the wheel of one of these?
Oh, man. Yeah, I've been lucky, man. I got to do the Chili Bowl a couple times. God, that was probably still stands as one of the coolest events to be a part of. Man, I don't know. Yeah, before CORE went away, I had a test that was coming up I was going to get to go to, and I was looking forward to jumping in a pro truck and doing some off-road trucking there, and it just didn't happen. And then, I think that's probably the most fun I have on iRacing right now is the Pro 4 trucks. In fact, I jumped on with a bunch of fans last night at Wild Horse, and that's got to be the next thing if I ever get a chance to actually do it in real life. I can't even imagine flying through the air like I do in the iRacing in real life and being able to throw that thing sideways because it in your race, we had a blast, you know. So I think that's probably my next venture if I get a chance.
Yeah, do have to ask. You have a Razor, UTV, anything like that in your garage? You're in SoCal. I got to think they're all around you.
You know, it's funny. I grew up with them all around me. When I lived in San Luis Obispo up the coast, we had a lot of land that you didn't have to go far to get out and have some fun. But I live in San Diego County, and you just can't do that anymore. So, unfortunately, you got to tow to Glamis or someplace, So, no, I don't have one, unfortunately. But I just talked to my old boss, Don Perdomo, and he's got a new truck being built. He was over at Ivan Stewart's yesterday, and he is so into it. And I know that, he's got Razors and just out having a blast all the time. So he's always bugged me to come hang out with him.
Yeah, he went down and did the Nora race last year. I think surprised a lot of people, slated to do it again. And I guess he got bit by the bug hard. I mean, it was like all in, you know, and he immediately fell in love again with off-road and motorsports. And I think it's all over now. He's just, I want more.
Yeah, he just sent me a picture of a truck. It's almost done. Or I don't know if it's a truck, but he's going to run the Nora 1000 again coming up. And it's, I don't know if he's doing it with Jagger Jones again. I know they had a blast last time. So, yeah, I enjoy watching Snake smile and have a good time because he's earned it.
Well, I know Antron and Steve and I, we've been talking, and I know they want to get out and get in some Razors and have just a camping weekend out at, like, Glamis or something this winter after everything wraps up. And I don't know, we'll have to keep you in the loop. Be fun to get everybody out there in a bunch of UTVs and just have a good time in the dunes.
I'd love to. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So, all right, Ron. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, buddy. I know we will be tuned in to watch you in iRacing. Seems like you got something going just about every single night of the week right now, which is definitely a good thing, man.
Yeah. Hey, it's fun right now. And the coolest part is the fans are engaged. You know, they can go to our YouTube channel, Napa's, and they can actually ride in my cockpit while these races are going on. So it's pretty fun for them.
Well, I appreciate everything, Ron, and we will be back after this on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com. Or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I would like to welcome a very special guest this week, winner of the Jim Beaver Esports eShort Course World Cup presented by General Tire, also a member of Jim Beaver Esports, Cam Peterson. Cam, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
So, first off, we got to talk about this. One, I guess you just won the biggest eShort Course race that's ever been put on, but you not only did you win it, and everybody knew you were fast, dude, you literally went and you qualified on the pole for 4 rounds. And then you swept the field in 4 hours. I don't think there was a lap you didn't lead in this thing. Like, dude, I mean, you want to talk about putting on a clinic. This is like as clinical as it gets, man. Like, and I know it wasn't easy. I watched and I called the race, dude.
Yeah, pretty lucky to get that those four pole positions. Once I got the fourth pole, I was really thinking that I was going to get that clean sweep. But, going into the event, my goals were to just get four podium finishes, not clean sweep the whole thing. But it was an awesome night. Underestimated myself, I guess, in terms of my performance. But glad to put on a good show, and I'm happy I did well.
Well, and the thing that I find interesting about this race, you know, is we purposely, and it was almost like the Cam Peterson rule, you've got all these world record setups, you know, so we went and made everybody run the exact same setup. So you didn't have a distinct advantage, you know, you've put in the work behind the scenes, and we'll talk about that in a minute, you know, and so you've got the hot rod setups, but
you literally were running the same thing everybody else was. And I think that's what makes this even, to me, like, even more impressive was that you didn't have any advantage. It wasn't like you had better equipment than anybody. You were literally running the same stuff.
Yeah, the beautiful thing about those pro trucks is that even though you have a, some would say, a slow setup, you can find trade-offs for each corner where you can find speed where, like, let's say my fast setup might not actually be very quick, and you can kind of weed out the slow parts and find all the fast ones, and you find speed and put the lap together, and hopefully you come out on top.
Yeah, well, and I got to ask, I know you haven't, it's not like you've been iRacing for 5 or 6 years. Like, you're pretty new to the service, right? 2018 was the first time you logged on to iRacing, correct?
2017, but I only did Oval in 2017 and then started to get more heavily into it, and then started doing the pro trucks in October of last year.
Well, and that's what I think is impressive, dude, because, I mean, you've got all these world records, things like that, but, you know, what was the, and I got to ask, because you're a guy from Canada, you know, obviously, you know, I think there's a little bit of off-road racing up there, I know, in certain areas, but, you know, by and large, it's not like you're exposed to a lot of this stuff on a daily basis, unless you're tuning in on the internet and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's not like you grew up in off-road. Like, what was the draw for short course for you?
Just kind of like the wow factor of it. It's kind of like late models with the third dimension of going up and down off the jumps. I grew up on circle track on the dirt. My father, he's a 5-time track champion at a local track there, dirt track, and kind of followed in his footsteps in circle track as well. And kind of that rugged throw it around and get to the corners and just kind of a little nudge here and there kind of racing is what I kind of thrive on, and I really enjoyed it and kind of stuck with it, and found out I was pretty decent at it, so I kept with it and was able to impress some people, I guess.
Well, yeah, and now you're standing here, and I know you just had a race, what was it, last night, I believe, and, you know, there's some league racing you're in. You've won this one. Like, I mean, I think it's safe to say, how are you feeling, like, sitting there going, I've got world records, I've got a cup win, you know, I've got all these other wins with, you know, in league races and stuff. Like, you, I don't think anybody's going to argue the fact you're the best, you know, sim racing short course driver in the world right now. How does that make you feel, man? Because, like, you literally are number one in the world.
Yeah, it really makes me feel like all my late nights and countless hours of practice have finally paid off. But, no, I'm kind of just more so waiting for the fresh competition to come in. There's definitely going to be some new talent coming in now that iRacing has gone quite viral. And especially, I mean, 180,000 views on your live stream there, that's going to get some attention. And guys like Mitchell DeYoung and that just don't play iRacing, though. I mean, you're going to get guys that are going to be on the service, and they're going to be quick. There's going to be some talented people coming along quite shortly. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the good racing. I'm looking forward to learning new things. And, yeah, hoping people give the Pro 4 trucks a shot and the Pro 2 trucks as well.
Yeah, one, well, and that's it. Like, I know in real world, you know, Pro 2s and Pro 4s, they go hand in hand, and I feel like in iRacing, that's one thing we try to do with this cup thing. Like, I think everybody likes the Pro 4s. One, they're a little bit easier to drive. You know, so I think everybody really prefers the Pro 4s. And I thought with this event, I'm like, you know, we really need to show who's the best of the best. We need to include the Pro 2s, you know, because in real off-road, they actually, you know, a lot of times they're the main show. You know, it's like they get a bigger entry field than the Pro 4s because of expenses and things like that, you know. And you know, what is your feelings on that with iRacing, with the Pro 2s and Pro 4s? Because in the real world, they go hand in hand. But I feel like in iRacing, everybody's kind of skewed more towards the Pro 4s. I mean, do you like switching it up and racing both? Or, I mean, would you prefer just to be in the Pro 4 all the time?
Oh, I enjoy switching it up. The Pro 2, I found to be quite a struggle, mostly because I spent so much time with Pro 4 beforehand. But it's definitely two different types of driving style. Your right foot is still kind of doing the same thing in terms of throttle input, because the Pro 4, you don't want to slide, but you have four-wheel drive, so you can give it more throttle. But the Pro 2s, you do have to turn those things a little sideways to get a good lap in. So, but at the same time, you don't want to spin the truck right around, so you got to keep out of the throttle a little bit. But, I mean, different animals in the corner, but still fun, really fun to drive, so.
So before we let you go, I mean, got to put you on the spot here. Like, you've raced against some of the best sim racers on the service, you know what I mean, some of the league races and things like that. But how was it sharing a track with guys like Travis Pastrana and Indy 500 champion Alex Rossi? You got Greg Biffle, who's a NASCAR champion. I mean, that had to have been a pretty rad experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of like ramped up towards it because I got the heads up of who was going to be in there, so I could kind of put myself into the mindset of who I was racing with before the race, you know, a couple weeks beforehand, which was helpful for me, I think. It kind of took the pressure off a little bit, but still, though, to be able to race with names like that, that's something I never expected would have happened, real life or in iRacing. I mean, those names that were in there, it's almost kind of leaves me speechless in a way that I got to race against those guys. It was definitely a privilege, and hopefully we can make it happen again.
Yeah, well, and that being said, I mean, what's next, do you think, for, you know, and obviously we know what's next. I know we're going to put on a couple of events, you know, for short course, and I know I've been really pushing, you know, iRacing behind the scenes at some point. I know they got to get some new tracks, but to do a proper world championship like they have for Rallycross and, you know, in late model sprint cars, NASCAR and everything else. But, you know, for you, I mean, obviously, you know, that's obviously ideal if they ever do create a world championship, you know. But, you know, that being said, everything else, I mean, I know we've talked about, you know, possibly trying some Rallycross. I mean, is there anything else that's really blipping your radar on the service right now, or are you pretty dedicated to short course?
Well, I'm going to stick with short course regardless of what I branch off into. Wanted to see if some new names come along that can really push my limits, and I look forward to that. But on the outside world of Pro 4s and Pro 2s, I'm looking at the Rallycross, like you said, because it is four-wheel drive on the dirt and asphalt. So I'm going to see if I can learn some new things there. And then besides that, I don't really know yet. I'm still an oval guy at heart, so I'm likely going to stick with something there. I'm a fan of all types of racing, though, and I love learning new things. So something like GTE, GT3 cars, I have kind of a soft spot for those kind of things because I enjoy driving them, challenging, and lots to learn from. So, look, I can't really decide on anything right now. Everything's kind of open right now for me, but I'm definitely going to be getting into something new, I think.
Yeah, well, I can say my phone is blown up via email and text, and everybody's like, I've got all these friends, and they're like, can you send me cam setup? I'm like, no, it's not there. So, you know, if push comes to shove, I think you could always get a job selling your setups to people. I think they probably line up to buy them, man.
Yeah, I hear you. It's, you know, I've given my setup to my teammates and stuff, and they say, like, how do you drive this thing? You know, it's way too hard to drive. I said, well, it's tailored to a specific driving style, so it may not work for you. And that's the thing about Pro 4 trucks is just the way you drive it. It's not going to do all the work for you. So you need to kind of tailor that to your driving style and to match it with your setup.
I never even really thought about that. Yeah, you're right. And I know Pro 4 is in the real life, and I don't really know how they work on sim racing. I mean, I've been in there, but I don't drive them at a high level. I just haven't, you know, I even own a sim rig myself. But it's one of those where in a real world, all-wheel drive trucks, you know, you've got to drive them 100%. You've got to be overly aggressive with them, you know what I mean? And I think there's not really a finesse. It's you really just have to strong arm them, you know what I mean? And that's when they really start working right. And I, you know, is it any similarities to that in, you know, in sim racing?
The Pro 2 is more so. Like I said, you can throw those things sideways and still get a good lap in. The Pro 4 is not so much. iRacing tire model isn't quite on where it should be compared to real life. I still think they've done an amazing job with the truck, don't get me wrong. But it's not like they're throwing it sideways into the corners like they do in real life and backing it in to each corner to get that a real good lap time in like they do in real life. And I hope they do work on that a little bit and see what they can come up with. But until then, you're just kind of coasting, not coasting, but just kind of making a stick around the corner, kind of like a go-kart. And I mean, until then, I look forward to maybe any updates they can have to make it more like the real thing. And maybe that will entice real-world drivers to come along and try it out.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the thing. You know, I feel like short course has kind of been on the service and they really haven't done a whole lot with it because they didn't have to. And I feel like you know, with the things you guys are doing, you know, you and your teammates, you know, and then, you know, an event like this that brings in that many people, I think iRacing's looking at it going, man, that brought in more viewers than some of our rallycross races and some of our circle track races did, you know, and I think my hope is iRacing saw those numbers. They're like, oh man, we need to double down. We need to invest in this. We got a couple of tracks scanned. We need to get them on the service. You know, we need to spend a little more time with what we've got going, you know, with the short course trucks, just because I think they don't realize, you know, what they have there as far as, you know what I mean, is interest in it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's really enticing to like the younger people, because it's such like an exciting type of of driving and experience within the iRacing realm of things. You know, there's no other platform that has that type of vehicle, I don't think, anyways, and it's that even being close to that accurate. So yeah, I think there's definitely a really, really good platform to work off of, and I hope they it continues to grow.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Cam, man. Thanks for calling into the show. We will definitely be chatting with you on the Discord app, buddy. And, you know, I don't know, you know, congrats on taking home a grand and a brand new set of Gentle tires, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was my pleasure.
And we'll be back after this on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Yes, that means hour number one is just about in the books. Thanks to Ron Capps for calling in, Cam Peterson for calling in. Thanks to all you for tuning in. If you're tuning in on SiriusXM Channel 211, Dan Patrick Radio, thank you guys. We are going to be signing off on SiriusXM. If you're on Sports Byline or on the podcast, yeah, you know what? You're going to get hour number two. So if you haven't already, go over to Apple Podcasts so you don't miss anything and hit the subscribe button to this show. And you know what? Like I said in the preview, I'm going to plug it again. Go over to Apple Podcasts. Hit up All Things Awesome with myself and my co-host Jonathan Coyle. New show we just dropped today on Apple Podcasts. It's already, I think, up to like 500 downloads or something like that. So yeah. We're cranking over there, but it is the best of 80s in season number one, best and worst of music, pop culture, video games, movies, cartoons, toys, clothing, you name it, but it's all about the 80s in season one. All four episodes are there for download on Apple Podcasts. All Things Awesome, Jim Beaver and Jonathan Coyle. Hit it up, check it out, subscribe, and leave a rating, please. And yeah, so hour number two, it's going to be a best of. We've got my good friend Ryan Arciero talking about his Baja win, and we got one of the greatest of all time, Showtime Jeremy McGrath. Yes, he is on in hour number two as well. And, you know, we got so much to talk about. Craziness going on in the world of sim racing. Yeah, that's what we're talking about right now. You know, Rallycross got their, you know, Invitational, NASCAR, IndyCar. Seems like there's a whole hell of a lot of iRacing going on, because we don't have any real racing to talk about. But Supercross sounds like they may, you know, pull into Phoenix and run a handful of episodes there. So rumors coming out about that. I don't know. Maybe we'll dive into those rumors around Supercross in hour number two. There's a lot of rumors. NASCAR talking about coming back. I don't know. There's a chance I may be at Charlotte Motor Speedway the end of May. We'll have to see. But General Tire, they haven't pulled the plug on their ARCA race there at Charlotte Motor Speedway either. So I don't know. Lots of stuff going on. Yeah, I got a brand new King of the Hammers car done that I haven't picked up from IMG there in Lake Elsinore either. So I don't know. Everybody's waiting, willing, and ready for motorsports to come back. But you know what? It hasn't, and it's not going to, at least for a month, which means iRacing is where it's at. And if you want to a discount on iRacing, I'm sure all of you do, use PR-JimBeaver, PR-JimBeaver. That coupon code, it's going to get you a 50% off at iRacing. Yeah, 50% off PR-JimBeaver if you use that coupon code at iRacing.com. If you want to go virtual racing with the pros, celebrities, and I don't know, just about everybody in the United States that loves racing at this point, PR-JimBeaver, that'll get you 50% off over there at iRacing. So, iRacing, that's where it's at. Rallycross is actually on right now as we're recording this. So I think during the commercial break, I'm going to tune in and see where my JimBeaver Esports drivers are at in the Rallycross Invitational. But, anyways, we are going to take a short commercial break. Hour number two, it is going to be on tap, and it's going to be Ryan Arciero, and it is going to be Showtime's Jeremy McGrath on in hour number two. When we turn here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome to hour number two here of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Welcome to all of our troops tuning in on the American Forces Network, everybody on Sports Byline USA, and those of you that are dedicated listeners at downanddirtyshow.com, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts, thanks for tuning in. All right, hour number two, this is going to be another one of our pandemic specials. That is right, we got some of our best of interviews from the past couple of years. Hour number two, this week, we had a couple of, these ones actually aired in the same exact episode. A good friend of mine, Ryan Arciero, coming off a massive Baja win. He is always fun to have on the show. Ryan Arciero. And then we've got the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Showtime Jeremy McGrath. That is right. Showtime Jeremy McGrath made his long-awaited Down and Dirty Radio Show debut last year, at the end of last year, on the show. And we're going to re-air that amazing interview with Jeremy McGrath, one of the most accomplished badasses of all time on a dirt bike. And he's become a good friend of mine as well. And he went on to finish his very first ever King of the Hammers event. I mean, like, who does that in the first KOH? McGrath does. That's right. He's a badass. Anyways, that's coming up in hour number two. As I said before, at the end of hour number one, if you haven't already, please, I've got this new show. It's called All Things Awesome with my good friend Jonathan Coyle. Yeah, he's been on this show before. He's been on Project Action. Him and his wife, Natalie Eva Marie, had their own show. But he and I decided to do a show together. It is on Apple Podcasts right now. All Things Awesome just dropped literally today. Go over there, hit it up. It's a binge-watchable season or binge-listenable season. Four episodes drop. We got another four episodes coming next month. But four episodes there on Apple Podcasts. It is the best of the 80s, best of the worst movies, video games, cartoons. We do an intro episode. We talk a little of everything. But if you're into pop culture, and this is the show for you, we have a good time. And I think it is one of the best damn podcasts on iTunes. But I might be a little biased. But anyways, go and check that out. Please hit the subscribe button, not only to that show, but to this one as well. Leave a rating to both shows. But help us get up those charts, man. Get the word out on that new show, All Things Awesome. So much appreciated for those of you who already have. I know we've already got like 500 downloads, and it literally just hit. So somebody was waiting for it. Anyways, thank you guys that supported that. And we are going to take a short break, and then we're going to roll into things. It's Ryan R.C. Arrow and a whole lot more. Showtime Jeremy McGrath here. Hour number two on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend Ryan Arciero to the show. Ryan, man, the big one. You finally, I don't want to say got the monkey off your back because you've won in trophy truck before, but dude, this has to be feel really damn good about now.
I tell you what, it is, and the monkey has gone off the back. You're right in saying that. I mean, it's
I think my last trophy truck win was with Troy Herbst at Parker for the Best in Desert race. And I think that was in 2014, I believe, 13 or 14. And then prior to that was my back-to-back Baja 1000 wins in trophy truck with Mark Miller in 2003 and 2004. And it just goes to show you, you know, how difficult, how tough it is to win a trophy truck race nowadays. I mean, it is no joke. And if anybody followed that race on Saturday, you could see how close it was all day long, all the way to the end. Just incredible.
Yeah, well, and I think this course, one thing I loved, I haven't raced down in Baja in a few years. We're talking about going back next year, but this course in particular, this reminded me of the old Southfish Baja 500 courses. I mean, we're talking early 2000s, mid 2000s. A lot of that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, was like those Baja 500 courses, but Roger Norman has kind of gone a different route with his 500s and things like that. So I think a lot of this probably hasn't been run in a few years, right?
No, you know what? One of the key sections. Well, there's two. You had Santa Catarina Wash, which is before Nuevo Junction. We hadn't run that in a long, long time. My dad happened to be. My dad went out there with Sean Hoagland and they chased us and they went out to checkpoint one, which is that wash. And my dad was sitting in that wash with Sean waiting for me. He's like, he goes, man, he goes, I remember racing my 2-seat car back in the 80s through here. And the Toyota truck as well. I don't think we've run that since probably the 80s or 90s. If that, and then it's been since, I think it was 2000. I want to say 2000, probably 6 or 7, something like that, that we ran down Simpsons out of Mike Sky Ranch. And so it's neat to be able to tie those old courses back in again. And I mean, the course for me this year overall, I loved it. It was really a driver's course. Not a whole lot of rough. We missed all the San Felipe stuff, which is not the end of the world for me, because I like a driver's course. I like technical. Yeah. And this course lent itself to my driving style. But the biggest thing we had to overcome all day long, and it was for everybody, except for the two lead trucks, was dust. Dust was horrible, especially where we started.
Yeah, well, and you know, and I know there's been a lot of talk on the internet about dust, and I know this was that weird one where, you know, we've gone to most of the events now have qualifying, but this one for one reason or another didn't, and I know it was kind of the old school pill draw where you and I grew up with that. I mean, we're super familiar with that, but you know, it's been a long time since the unlimited classes actually were by pill draw, and so I think there was a lot of fast guys starting in the back. I know you probably didn't get the starting position you wanted. I mean, I think it added a whole different aspect to this. I mean, how was that for you going back to this pill draw type of thing, you know, that we haven't seen in a while, Ryan?
I tell you what, when they did the draw over at the Cameron Steele's headquarters, and I wasn't able to be there in person, so I watched it online. And man, my hands were sweating, because I knew I could have drawn just as bad as Dan McMillan did, or I could have been lucky that day. So I mean, it's really a coin toss at that point. And especially with this course, the way this course was laid out and how technical and one line this course was, having a crappy draw it literally can determine whether you're going to do well or not do well at this race. And that sucks, because really you don't want to add another element to what we already go against to try to finish and win one of these races. And when you mix in some of the slower guys, and I said, I say that lightly, if these slower guys, we're all out there. We're all out there competing. We all want to have a chance to win. But you get guys that are new to the sport or don't have the experience level that some of the fast guys have, and run a lot slower pace. I mean, it can really turn your race upside down. Because it being a one line course for this race, there's not a lot of opportunity to pass. And for us, and I know a lot of the other guys out there, we had all week long during pre-running, we had wind, and this never fails. Race day, it was still as can be. And I can't figure it out. I mean, all during the week of pre-running, we're like, man, this is great. I hope this wind comes up for Saturday. And in the back of my head, I'm like, it's going to be like every other race we have, where Saturday morning, it's going to be still as can be. And, you know, sure as heck, the wind was still. And so the dust just sat. So it made it even more difficult to try to run through the dust to try to catch somebody. And you had to be patient. You had to be. You couldn't make any mistakes. You couldn't get any flat tires. You couldn't blow any corners. If you wanted to win this race, you had to be consistent and have some patience running through that dust and to try to get around guys that are making these mistakes. And that's what we capitalized on. We weren't able to physically pass anybody running because you couldn't see. So it forced us to be consistent, let them make the mistake, then we get around them. And that's exactly what we did all day long. But still, it was an uphill battle to the finish line because there was only one time that I was out of dust. And that was Robbie Pierce started right in front of me between Andy McMillan and myself. Robbie had a mechanical issue at mile 60. And I was deep in his dust and it allowed me to get around him. And I had a little bit of clean air for about another 40 miles. And so it allowed me to bridge that gap to that next group of trucks up in front of us. And that was it. That was the only probably break I had dust free. The whole rest of the race was in dust the whole way to the finish.
Yeah. Well, and do you think, you know, because you and I have both read what's going on the internet and everything else, but do you feel like if there was some wind on race day, or if there would have got rain, you know, that week of or something like that, it would have changed the dynamic and we wouldn't be hearing the conversations we're having?
I agree. The draw itself probably made the race the way it ended up, not with just us winning, but how close it was at the finish line. I've never, and I know you haven't either, all the years we've been involved in the sport. You ever seen a finish like that before? We have that
crazy.
Many trucks stacked up, like seconds, boom, one truck, second truck, third truck. That was incredible. And that was more than likely probably because of the draw. I'm not a big fan of the draw, going back to answer your first question. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of it. I'd rather us qualify or be based on the merits of where we finished the last race. For us, our last race is the 500. And we ended up having a DNF because of a part failure. So for us, it was, you know, I was okay with the draw for this particular race. I would have rather qualified, don't get me wrong, but having a good finish at this race was everything because it leads us right into the biggest race we have all year long, which is the one that everyone wants to win in the Sabah 1000.
Yeah. Well, and talking about the 1000, I mean, Ryan, I mean, you know, I guess the results for this determine the Baja 1000, correct? I mean, you're on pole position.
Yep.
For the biggest off-road race of the year, buddy. how are you going to be approaching this, man? This is like pole at the Indy 500, buddy.
I know it is huge. It is huge. It does come with some disadvantages as well. Opening the road for the Baja 1000 sometimes can be a disadvantage, but all depending on the weather, what we have, it's also obviously a huge advantage because we're setting the pace and as long as there's no mistakes made or flat tires, you're dust free, which, you know, not having dust in front of you is a big advantage. And anybody that says it's not, I mean, it is the biggest thing that you need to realize as a driver is the team needs to communicate with you every step of the way on where you're at, because you have nothing to gauge the pace off of at that point when you're out front. And the perfect example of that is what happened to us in San Felipe. We lost radio. We had some radio issues and our MSAT issues to be able to communicate with me. And we had such a big lead over the whole rest of the pack. I think we had 15, 20 minutes to the next car behind us. We were checked out. But what I didn't get any information was all the fast guys started way back. They were 30, 40 minutes back at the start line. And not having that information or not being able to get that information to me, I just kept the same pace I'd been running all day. Well, that pace wasn't quick enough because, you know, Andy ended up beating us by a little over a minute because he was able to pick up the pace and knew exactly where I was. I had no idea where he was. So it comes with some disadvantages as long as you get the communication you need to validate the pace that you're running, whether you need to pick it up, or whether your pace is good, or whether you can back it down a little bit.
And we're going to continue this conversation with Ryan Arciera when we return here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, after this break.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With ADAPT, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with my good friend Ryan Arciero. And Ryan, you got to be really excited with this program. I know you've had some hiccups along the way, but right now, I mean, you know, you mentioned San Felipe, but now you guys are hitting your stride. I mean, I think, you know, and we know with a new program, sometimes it takes a while to get everything to put together and everything to gel. But you've got to be really excited right now, because I feel like this season, you know, everything is finally, you know, you guys have kind of come together and it's there. You guys are there, Ryan.
We've been working so hard. The Herb Smith Fab guys, Terrible Herbs guys, they've been working their butts off all year long on these trucks. And the trucks are awesome. I said we've just been missing a couple pieces of the puzzle, small, very small things. And it takes all those pieces to come together to win a race. And we're finally there. We just got, this was the first race for our new power plant. We're making that crossover between NASCAR and off-road racing. Joe Gibbs Racing is building our engines now. They're building a trophy truck specific engine. Troy Herbst, that was the first one to run it in San Felipe. And then Tim Herbst got his right after San Felipe for the 500. And then we have ours now. And then the fourth engine that Gibbs built went to the concrete guys, Kevin Thompson and Harley Lettner, which they didn't run for this race. They ran it for Vegas Reno and had some issues, mechanical problems with something else in the truck. But this engine, Jimmy, tell you, this engine's no joke. These guys, they took everything they learned from NASCAR. And with NASCAR, you have to build an engine based on being in a box, being constrained. You can only do this. Now the engineers over there, Dustin and Mark, the engine builder, were able to really use and take everything they learned from NASCAR and take it to another level, and build something that was just really special. This engine is just it's one of the best engines I've ever raced in any form of motorsport. Incredible.
Yeah, you know, that's amazing to me, you know, that we've got, you know, and I know Robbie's, you know, done some stuff, development stuff with his engines and things like that, you know, from stuff he's been able to bring over from Cup. But, you know, to have an investment like Joe Gibbs, and I know, you know, I know Roush has kind of toyed with things, but they've never really gone all in. But, you know, to have that kind of, you know, brain power, and that's not taking anything away from anybody in off-road, but NASCAR, I mean, you and I know that's just another level there. But, I mean, this that's so huge for our industry as a whole, and just to see where things kind of turn, because I think it's going to make everybody raise their game, you know, over the next year or two.
No, for sure. And it's not, they didn't just take a NASCAR engine and say, okay, that we're just going to tweak it here, tweak it there, make it work for the trophy truck guys. They started from scratch. They developed a new block, you know, parts and pieces. They started from scratch, but it's all the resources they had, and they spend a lot of freaking money to go win those NASCAR races. So they there's a lot at their disposal. They took all that and developed something brand new for what we do. And I think that I think that's really cool that it even sparked an interest for them to want to get involved in trophy truck. And it just goes to show the landscape of trophy truck and how cool it is and the exposure it's getting now, you know, off of racing in general. But it's just neat to see that. And you know, with the Gibbs guys coming, they come to each one of the races and they are having the time of their lives. They love the sport. They've embraced it. The people of the sport have embraced them. So that, I think that in itself is just so cool.
Yeah. Well, and I do think it's funny you mentioned that, because it's crazy that I can go to a NASCAR race now, and I've been to a couple of them just with General Tire and ARCA and what, you know, Riley Herbst is doing, and you got Zane Smith and Sheldon Creed and now Haley Deeb.
Egan, and it's like I go to these races and I feel like it's old home week. But you know, it's I love that we're at a point now with off road where we've got these mergers. You know what I mean? Not mergers, but things are kind of meshing together where you've got the off road community, and now you've got the NASCAR community coming over. And like, I think it's so amazing that we're at this point where this is actually happening. And I think, you know, for both, it's, you know, we've got these super talented kids that are going to be, you know, racing stock cars at the premier division in the next year or two. And, you know, and on the same token, now we're able to bring that technology over into what we're doing. Like, it's an amazing crossroads we're at here for the sport of off-road.
I think we're at such a cool time. I really do. And it is, it's neat for me to turn on the TV and see all those guys, like, you know, like Zane and Riley, who I've seen grow up and trying to make their way into the Cup Series. You know, it's just so cool when you see someone come from the off-road side of things, because typically in NASCAR, a lot of those guys came from sprint cars, World of Outlaws, you know, and late models, and you know, just living at the short tracks. And to see the guys that are coming through the off-road ranks and having just as much success or just as much talent in NASCAR as the other ones that have lived and breathed in the short tracks, I think that's really cool. It just goes to show you that the talent pool that off-road develops, as far as your driving skill goes, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know, all this being said, Ryan, you guys pole position for the Baja 1000, as we said. I mean, how are you guys now? How are you going to approach the 1000? I mean, what do things look like for you? Because we're actually not far away from the Baja 1000. I mean, less than 2 months out. I know you're going to go do your homework, do some pre-running. This isn't a point-to-point 1000. You know, how are you guys going to approach this? You know, how much time? I mean, because I got a feeling you got to look at things a little bit differently now, like you said, because you are going to be leading the way.
No, there's no doubt with that, Jim. It's definitely got to put your thinking cap on. You cannot rest on what you just did last weekend, and that's done and over with. And I'm still on a high from it. But the second I got home, my brain switched gears to the 1000 and started looking down the road. The guys have a lot of work to do. Obviously, the trucks have to be completely torn down and gone through and reprepped for the 1000, which is only a couple months away, if that. And so there's a lot of work to be had. Obviously, pre-running and trying to figure out where the race course is going. Typically, when we do a loop 1000 race, we usually go underneath the 1000-mile mark as far as total mileage. But with that being said, that doesn't mean it's any less difficult to do the Baja 1000 when it's a loop race. To me, it's almost more difficult, and not just logistically, because logistically doing the 1000 the peninsula run is very, very difficult. But typically the race courses in the northern part of Baja are very rough.
Yeah.
I can only assume for us to get the mileage we need, we're going to be doing all of San Felipe and all the rough stuff down in San Felipe. Well, that takes its toll on both the driver and more importantly, the vehicle as well. So when you get done with the Baja 1000, it's a loop race. You are spent. The trucks are spent. You know, the team is spent, and they're just as difficult to do. So, you know, for us, we're going to do a little bit of testing because you need to continue to develop. You need to continue to push the envelope. You need to find ways to make the truck better, because all your competitors are doing it. So, like I said, once again, you can't sit on your laurels. You have to keep pushing and pushing forward. But that's what's exciting. You know, I've been racing for over 25 years, but been around it my whole life like you. I don't stop learning every time I get in the vehicle. I'm always learning something. I'm always changing something. I'm always adapting and doing something different. But it's, you know, it's going to be such a thrill starting on the pole, starting to be in the first car to leave in Sonata for the 1000. And the goal is to make sure you put together a great program that keeps us there. And that's not just the team. It's not just the driver. It's not just the navigator. It's everything together. Most of what happens to go win the Baja 1000 happens at the race shop and in the planning side of things. The racing is a fun part that we get to do. That's a small percentage of the overall picture. But for us, I mean, I'm super excited to go to this race. I'm super excited to start first. We have some great sponsors, you know, on the truck. Troy Lee did the paint job on the Levi's truck, and man, it has become such an icon down in Baja. The fans down there just absolutely have gravitated towards it and love it. And then we brought a new sponsor on for this race, Dragonfly. They build drones, and they build really, really big drones. They carry full size camera equipment. Those guys, this was their first time to an off-road race, let alone first time to Baja. and they were blown away. Not to mention we went out of the box with them being involved, but they were so beside themselves and gravitated towards our sport. For me, I love seeing that. I love introducing people to the sport that have never seen it before, never experienced it before. Because just like we can talk about what we do. We can talk about our sport till we're blue in the face. And people are saying, okay, that's cool. But how do you explain it? You know, how do you create that emotion unless you're there and you see it and you experience it firsthand? So, you know, and obviously guys like Bea Quidditch, you know, I didn't get a single flat this last race because of what they put into the sport, the engineering they put into those tires. It is just, it's absolutely incredible. You know, it goes to everything. Having the whole package of King Shocks, KC Highlights, you know, having score working their butts off to be able to get approved for us to go race down there. I wouldn't want that job.
No.
You know, it's wild. It's absolutely wild.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I got to ask too. I mean, you know, we've been having, you and I talked back earlier this year when we had you on that podcast. It did amazing feedback, by the way. Everybody loved us
awesome.
Just talking, you know, just old school off road and things like that. But all wheel drive versus two wheel drive, man. I mean, you know, here we were at this was a prototypical. This is a Baja course I grew up on. You know what I mean? And you know, what's
yep.
your take on that? I mean, I still obviously we know all wheel drives are coming. You know, they're fast. They're wicked fast, but you know, something like this, I mean, I think, you know, what we've seen two-wheel drive, it can still put it down.
I mean, I think we just proved it on Saturday. It you know, granted there was elements of being in dust, but you're always going to have some element to it, but I was excited to see the fact that we came out victorious over the four-wheel drives. So the four-wheel drives, they are coming, and obviously the reliability of them is now there. As far as I know, I mean, I think there was three four-wheel drives that finished physically in front of us with that had zero issues. Bryce Menzies and his, I besides dust and flat tires, if he even got those, zero issues. So now the reliability is there, but at the same time, we still beat them with a two-wheel drive. So what I haven't seen yet is while we're racing and without any issues on either side, I haven't seen them completely smoke the two-wheel drives yet. That doesn't mean that's not coming. It, I've driven one of the four-wheel drives, and it is incredible when it comes to the graded roads and the sand washes and how it accelerates out of a corner. There's no question or no doubt about the fact that for sure it does that better than a two-wheel drive. But you also have to put the big picture together. You have to put the picture together from the green flag to the checker flag. So, and a lot of things can happen in the middle there.
Thanks, Ryan. And we got Jeremy McGrath up next right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. I'd like to welcome my good friend Jeremy McGrath to the show. We were just talking off air. Finally, man, it's been a long time coming, but I'm stoked to finally have you on, buddy.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. We were talking about that. We've been trying to set this thing up for quite a few years now, but definitely time to knock it off the list. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, I'm already, my wheels are already turning. I know, like, this past week I went out and spent a day with Brian Deegan, and we sat down and we talked for like almost an hour and a half, 2 hours, like on his whole career and things like that. And I've been fortunate to be able to do that with Ken Block and Pastrana. And I'm like, now you're going to get a text from me, Jeremy, when do we get to knock this deal out? I want to come and like sit down and bring a film crew and knock out a whole, like talk about your whole career and span it. You know, we can't do that on the national show, but I'm like, wheels are already clicking, man.
Yeah, well, this is a nice start to it, but we can put that together no problem at all.
Yeah.
Do it.
So, no, we got you on the show, and good reason, man. Dude, coming out of nowhere, Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series, sweeping the weekend, man. I know you had a good run at Cranon. I was fortunate to be able to call that. But, I mean, I know with this whole Pro 2 Imogen thing, I know you saw maybe a little bit of opening there where you could sneak in and run up front and do pretty well. But, you, dude, sweeping a weekend, you couldn't have saw that coming, man.
Well, no, I definitely didn't see it coming. You know, it's true. Like, what, a month ago, I wanted to be there for Cranon. You know, this year I stopped chasing the point series in the Lucas series. So I had raced the series for 8 years, finally won the championship, just so pumped. Got the Pro 2 title in 17. 18, we kind of decided, all right, this will be the last year that I'll chase the points. And then for 19 season, figured, all right, let's work on the truck, get it ready. They have, like you said, they have the new Pro 2 M, which is the spec engine, little smaller block. And so when I decided we were going to Cranon for the 50th, I was like, all right, let's build the truck and put the smaller engine so we can race with all the Pro 2s that are back there. And I didn't want to have to use the open motor like we had used in the past. So it was time to change it up. And Cranon went well, so we were like, all right, well, let's take this into Glen Helen and see how it goes. And obviously I was pretty confident in my truck, and we went out and tested a few times and got it sorted out. And I was like, oh, this thing's pretty good. And, but yeah, I mean, to be able to sweep the weekend, I'm not sure I've ever done that in short course. So it was a pretty, pretty amazing weekend.
Yeah. Well, that's going to have you pretty excited. We're going to see you at, in Phoenix at the finale now. I mean, the cup races, there's a little bit of extra money on the line there too.
I've gotten that question probably 100 times since we raced Glen Helen last week. And the answer is no. I promised myself, you know, look, you know my career and you know my story. I've raced motorcycles, raced trucks, raced a little bit of everything my whole life. And I just, as soon as I stopped chasing the championship, I just said, look, we're going to do stuff that makes sense, stuff that we can do great promotion and hook up our partners like Maxxis and Icon and Rigid and you know, all the people that are really helping me. And I think it's, you know, it was like, hey, if we can have some fun and go do it, that's what we're going to do. And you know, we came to Glen Helen, had a phenomenal weekend. It was just, I mean, you can't dream of those kind of weekends. So, we went big, but our plan was never to go to Arizona. You know, our plan was never to make it to the finals. We, wanted to race Glen Helen and it went well. And so shoot, everyone can sit on that one for a while, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you think that's, you know, I know you see a lot of guys kind of moving to something like that. You know, it's you've been on the road for your entire life, you know, whether it be chasing Supercross and Motocross titles. And then obviously, you know, you'd mentioned there with, you know, running 7 years in Pro 2. But, you know, do you feel like that's, you know, there's, I don't know, to me, there's probably a little bit more happiness in that, right? Where you're not having to worry about the grind of an every weekend and you can just show up 3 or 4 times a year and have some fun and, you know you can run up front. To me, it's got to maybe it's a little more fulfilling that way too.
Well, I mean, certainly last weekend was super fulfilling. I mean, I hadn't raced my truck in 8 months, and with the exception of driving it at Cranon a couple weeks before. So, you know, I think you just, at this point, the world is so media driven and we have some different style things we can do with shooting videos and, you know, we can all sort of thank Ken Block for that kind of avenue that we've been using lately. And, you know, so I'm not sure. I think for our team and our partners, we can get more eyeballs on just doing one-off stuff. And, you know, last weekend, like I said, Glen Helen was crazy. We just went out and won the race, qualified first and both days. And I mean, the guys I normally race with, I never even saw on the weekend. So that was pretty crazy. And, you know, it's one of those things. I know that in the future, they're going to be moving. Everyone's probably going to be moving and down to the small engine and the whole class will be together again, which racing will be just crazy insane again. But last weekend was great, and to be able to just have a nice weekend like that and be able to walk away and go, all right, what's our next plan? And, you know, that's a good feeling.
Yeah. You know, I got to go back to, you mentioned Crandon. You know, how was that going to Crandon? I mean, because I've been fortunate the past 3 years to be able to kind of call the races back there and stuff. But it's, dude, as an Arizona boy going back there to watch that, that's got to just be a little bit insane, man.
Well, you know, if you remember a few years ago, it wasn't, I mean, I knew I'd always wanted to get back to Crandon, but it wasn't, I wasn't such a fish out of water on this last trip because I had raced for Johnny Greaves and the Monster Toyota team a few years back, maybe 9 years ago,
okay,
when I first started racing trucks. And so I had the opportunity to race Crandon a few times. And, you know, I can imagine, I mean, I remember my first time going there. I was just like, what in the world? This place is crazy with all the high speed and that first corner with the land rush start. I mean, it really is amazing, an amazing place. But I was ready. I mean, I was ready, and when I went there, I was ready to run up front, and that's what we did. And we got two podiums out of the three races that we raced, and then to get that podium in the cup race was just, I mean, way more than we had ever expected. So, but I knew we had a fast truck, so it was just get some good starts and see if we can lead laps, and that's what we did. So it was a great weekend. I mean, when you go to a race like Crandon versus everything else, you're kind of like, wow, you definitely know you're at the pinnacle.
Yeah, I think it's hard to even explain it to people who haven't actually been there, you know, but it's just, like you said, you just walk in and it's like, I've been to the Indy 500 quite a few times, and you walk into Crandon and I get the same feelings, like you just know you're someplace special, you know, and I think that's, there's just something about it, you know?
And, you know, I think that out on the West Coast, we have a lot of action, we have a lot of racing, a lot of desert racing, and even, you know, we've had short course over the last, you know, however many years. But I just don't think you can get that type of facility anywhere out west. So, yeah. I mean, yes, Crandon is a monster. It's an awesome track, awesome race. But just to be able to go there and see that property and be able to drive there and see those kind of speeds with that kind of crowd, and, I mean, that's exactly why we all race, you know?
Yeah, well, and it's funny, you talk about the facility. It's like I've driven back through the campground and stuff, and I feel like it just keeps going deeper and deeper into the woods, and you just, like, you never see the end of it. It's like, oh, there's more people. Oh, there's more people. It's like, wow, where are these people coming from?
Yeah, that is for sure, man. You walk back there, or you cruise back there on a pit bike, or even a side-by-side, whatever, and, man, yeah, it's pretty unbelievable what you can find in that campground.
Yeah. Well, and I know, you know, you were pretty busy this week. I know we're doing some stuff with Kawasaki. I know you're still involved with the brand, man, dealer show. That's some pretty big announcements coming out of Kawasaki this week.
Yeah. It's funny. I was just talking to the guy that runs my, you know, helps me manage the team. He's like, dude, you've been super busy this week. And it's funny. Sunday was Glen Helen, and then Monday morning was the Kawasaki dealer convention in Palm Desert. So, went home that night, woke up at 5 a.m. to split, had to be down in Palm Desert at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, it really hasn't stopped. The Kawasaki show is going this week, obviously with a huge announcement this week with the new Terex KRX 1000, and that's the new side-by-side for Cowie. And it's the introduction's been great. So, in fact, I'm sitting here looking at one right now. I picked up mine yesterday, and I'm itching to go get this thing dirty. But it's been a long time coming for Cowie. And I've driven this thing. It drives super well. The chassis on this thing is super fun, super stable. They had the demo course. I'm not sure if you got a chance to get out and see it, but the demo course they had down there was amazing.
Yeah, no, it looked like it, a lot of rock crawling and you just had a bit of everything, right?
Oh yeah, they had high speed, they had rock crawling, they had low speed rock crawling, they had ups and downs, and I mean, really the course, they rented this rock quarry down there. And it really looked like a video game. It's pretty incredible. So all the dealers got to go out and do that. They did the first half of the dealers. The first wave was Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was the rest of the show. So it finishes up today, but it's been a real busy week. So after today, it'll be nice to relax and think about that Glen Helen race from last week.
Yeah.
Finally.
So I got to ask, you know, yeah, obviously they got that side-by-side, you know, you picked yours up. Any itch to do a little side-by-side racing maybe?
Well, you know what? Certainly the door is open now, right? The door has been closed on that for me for a long time here. And now, you know, I think after Glen Helen, my truck's going to get prepped and parked in the corner. We're going to get a couple. I mean, I have one. I'm picking up another one. We're going to do a build on the Terex, the new Terex KRX. And I want to build one up for my daughter and myself, and then us go, maybe us go do a works race, maybe do King of the Hammers. I don't know. It's kind of, you know, the slate's pretty clean right now, and it's wide open, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I got a lot of possibilities now. I think that's got people pretty excited. I got to ask before we let you go, though. I know, you know, you're busy, and we're going to be up against a time break, but how often are you on a dirt bike anymore, Jeremy?
You know, I ride my dirt bike quite a lot. It's probably once every – I don't know if this is a lot, but once every other week probably still. I mean, I raced the Mammoth motocross race in June. The big vet race there this week, this year. They have it every year in June. And I was riding quite a lot leading up to the summer and prep for, trying to be prepped for that race. Ended up getting the victory, which was cool. It was a 40, I rode 40A, 40 Pro. And yeah, so I mean, I try and get out as much as I can. The dirt bike's going to be a steady in my whole life, you know, for my whole life, for most of it at least, until I can't get the thing off the stand anymore anyway. But I ride my dirt bike quite a lot, and I ride my mountain bike quite a lot. And then, you know, my buddies and I go down to Baja a lot. So the side-by-side thing's been, you know, a big, big thing in my life for the past couple of years. So that's why I'm super excited about the new Terex.
Yeah, I think that's I think the entire industry, you know, it's, you know, obviously I'm a Polaris guy, but I think it's been one of those where everybody knew this was coming in, and I think it's got us all excited, you know, and I know, you know, Cowie, they seem like they were one of those. It's like, you know, if we're going to come in late to the game, we're going to bring our A game, you know, and I think that's exactly what they did. I think that's what's got everybody so dang excited, you know?
Well, you know, it's so, the last few years have been so exciting with what Polaris and Can-Am have done. I mean, for us, you and I and all the other guys that love to go out and drive, I mean, these vehicles have been amazing, and the kind of progression that they've put forth over the last few years has been amazing. And I think you're right. You know, when Honda came out with the Talon and Cowie now coming out with the new Terex, you know, these guys had to be on their A game, because there's a lot of competition out there, and to be in the game with Polaris and Can-Am these days is going to take some work. But you know, the Japanese were up for it. Obviously, it's Cowie's first time in the market for a sport side-by-side, which is you know, it's a tough market to jump into, but I'm confident the thing's going to be awesome. I've driven it. I love it. And, you know, we're going to continue to work on it. And just like the other brands, you know, there's going to be stuff coming right behind it to, you know, to what's the next thing, you know, people's attention span is so short these days, but, I'm just stoked I can get out there and enjoy it.